end of the service after communion to give you a chance to give your testimony. So be thinking about that, and we will look forward to hearing how you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. So we started the book of 1 Peter a few weeks ago, not very far into it yet. So far in this chapter, Peter has been writing about our God-initiated and mercy-fueled salvation that came about through God the Son coming as our substitute Savior on the cross, taking upon Him our punishment that we deserved. And so he's been rejoicing in that. Last week we looked at Paul, how he rejoiced in different aspects of our salvation, present aspects now, but also future aspects. And it was a call for us to rejoice in those same aspects in our lives. And all of this, since we began in verse 1, has been pushing us and prompting us to offer praise, offer a doxology to the Lord because of this great salvation that He has provided for us. So today in this next section, we're going to be in verses 10, 11, and 12. And what we're going to see is Peter's going to examine our salvation from the viewpoint of four different perspectives. Four different perspectives of those who have been involved in communicating the gospel to us. And through this opening section, Peter's calling us, and especially if you're one of those in one of these various types of trials, he is calling us to focus once again on our salvation, but not just in a limited way. He wants us to see, in one sense, a full story of our salvation. I think that's what you're going to catch today, a little bit more of that full story of our salvation through these four different perspectives that he's going to present to us. Before we get to that, can I just remind us of something? This word, salvation, that has really been co-opted by Christians, speaking of the gospel of Christ. Now, there are other people who talk about being rescued. Maybe they even say, I've been saved from, such as maybe I was saved from a terrible accident yesterday by whatever. But whenever the word salvation is used, first and foremost, it's related to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone said it this way, salvation has been called the greatest word in the Christian vocabulary. The greatest word in the Christian vocabulary. And there's hardly a word that's more blessed, more hope-filling, more joy-filling than the word salvation and its meaning. And that's why the psalmist said in Psalm 96, verse 2, sing to the Lord, bless His name, proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day to day to day to day. We always want to be thanking, praising, proclaiming salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. So as we look at verses 10 through 12, this is one of those sections I think you could rationalize would be easy to skip over, but it's very significant, and I hope I can communicate its significance to you this morning. So let's read it, verses 10, 11, and 12. Peter writes, as to this salvation, that's what he's been talking about, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So again, I would just suggest this is a very significant portion of Scripture. Now, let me maybe frame it this way. Peter is saying that when you encounter particularly various trials, when you're in one of those kinds of trials, as his recipients were here, excuse me, when you're in one of these various kinds of trials, we are to look at the blessedness of our salvation. We look at it, like I said, we want to look at it in a large view of just how great this salvation is that so many of us have tasted and experienced and live. What I mean by that, in large view, is that Peter's going to say, in essence, we're going to get kind of outside of ourselves, and we're going to look this morning from the perspective of the Old Testament prophets in related to salvation. We're going to look at it from the perspective of the Holy Spirit of God. We're going to look at it from the apostles and their preaching of salvation. And we're even going to consider the angels' aspect into this, as he finished verse 12 with. And so what we're going to see is, as we look at the Old Testament prophets, this was the theme of their prophecies. We're going to see it was the theme of what the Holy Spirit wanted written as inspired Scripture, because salvation is the major theme of the Bible. We're going to see this is the theme of the apostles' preaching. And we're going to see this is the theme that occupies so much of what the angels want to understand as they observe us as rebels being saved by the grace of God. So that's kind of what we're doing here. We're going to look at the greatness of our salvation, and we're going to see how it was the theme, first of all, through the prophet's study. So let me read verse 10 to you again. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. So these Old Testament prophets who spoke by the Holy Spirit and made these declarations of the word of the Lord that came to them, the importance, they spoke about many different things, but the most important thing that they were talking about, prophesying about, was related to salvation. And as he talks about, particularly, who was going to be the one who came that would provide salvation for the world, and what would be the time frame? When is this going to happen? Because that was a lot of times what was involved in their prophecies. Do you remember how many prophecies there are in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ? There's some 300 or more different prophecies related to Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And so they prophesied of salvation, prophesied about the one who was coming, prophesied about the time frame. Now they understood that they weren't going to live to see the fulfillment of this. Most likely none of this was going to happen in their lifetimes. But they, as they wrote about the Messiah, as they wrote about this coming one, they knew it was related to salvation. Although they didn't fully understand everything about Jesus' death and resurrection and life and all of that, but they were prophesying about it. So you know that part. You know that part. But what I want you to catch here is this. Notice what he says. He says, these prophets, they just didn't prophesy about this. They intensely studied their own prophecies because they wanted to understand what they were prophesying about. They wanted to understand about this one that was going to come. They wanted to understand something of the time frame it was going to be happening in. And so look at verse 10. These are pretty intense type words that he's using here, even though it maybe doesn't seem that way in English. Verse 10, talking about the prophets, they made careful searches. Verse 10, they made inquiries. The King James says they inquired and searched diligently. Verse 11, they were seeking to know. But all very intense type words. It's almost like they were trying to understand every little small part of the prophecies, because they realized it was so significant as it related to salvation. Not just trying to understand it in a scholarly way, but understand it because it related to the salvation that God was bringing to redeem the sinful people. And so this was a passionate study on their part to understand about salvation. Let me try to picture it this way. Maybe it'll register with you this way. Can you imagine maybe 25 men, and they're trying to put together 1,000, 2,000 piece jigsaw puzzle. But none of them have all the pieces. None of them have the box top that shows what the picture is. They didn't live by each other. Some of them were separated by hundreds of years. And they're trying to piece together this picture of who was going to be coming to provide salvation and when He was going to come. Some of the pieces David had. Some of the pieces Isaiah had. Some of the pieces Zechariah had. Some of the pieces Daniel had. And other prophets in the Old Testament. None of them had all the pieces. If they couldn't figure it all out, I wouldn't attempt to put a puzzle together if I didn't have the picture. But they didn't really have the picture. They were getting bits and pieces of it through these different prophecies. You remember what Jesus told His disciples in that day? He said, "For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see, desire to hear what you're hearing." But they didn't have it back then. It wasn't the time for it. And so the Old Testament prophets, they were limited, but they were intent on trying to understand as much as they could possibly understand related to our salvation and the one that was going to come to provide it for us. And so part of the greatness of our salvation can be seen in just how intent these prophets were to understand, because they grasped something of the significance of this theme, this truth of salvation, and thus gave themselves to understand it as best they could. So Peter's saying, telling us in the midst of our trials especially, focus on your salvation. Make that the fixation of your life, the greatness and the glory of your salvation. Why? Because one, it was such an important subject of intense study by the prophets of old. The greatness of our salvation was also the theme, I could say it this way, of the Holy Spirit, inspiration. Let's read verse 11 and 12. Just notice where the Spirit is mentioned. Seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ, that's sometimes how the Holy Spirit's referenced, the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. In other words, as He was leading them to prophesy these prophecies. Verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. In other words, they didn't understand everything they were saying. You disciples are now living in a time where so much of this is going to become fulfilled, and you'll understand what they were speaking of. That's what it's saying there. But they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you, how? By the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So why was salvation such an important thing to the Old Testament prophets? Because it was an important thing to the Holy Spirit of God, who was giving them these prophecies about salvation to declare. Salvation is the major theme of the Bible. And who gave us the Bible? It came from the Holy Spirit of God. And so if salvation is the major theme of the Bible, then you could say the salvation really is the major theme the Holy Spirit wanted to communicate through His divine inspired record of the Old and New Testaments. And so He began revealing things to them. Revealing things about the Lord's death and crucifixion. You read different parts of the Old Testament, you start seeing that. Psalm 16, Psalm 22, Psalm 69. You turn to Isaiah 9, Isaiah 53, we know that chapter. You can turn to Daniel, you can turn to Zechariah, and you see these prophecies related to Christ's death, His crucifixion. There's also prophecies related to His resurrection. Many of those same books I mentioned, as well as others, alluding to, speaking to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that's what the Holy Spirit was imparting to these men, because that was the theme of this book He was writing through men that He inspired and led. And you're going to see, I haven't decided yet if we're going to do 2 Timothy, but 2 Timothy, we learn in chapter 1 that it wasn't this people just wrote whatever happened to come up in their minds. It talks about these holy men of God spoke as they were what? Moved by the Holy Spirit. So the things they were writing, emphasizing salvation was coming from Him to them and through them in the things that they prophesied, the things they wrote down as prophecy. Therefore, can I say it this way? The preoccupation of the Old Testament writers with salvation was because it was the preoccupation of the Holy Spirit of God who was leading them to write about salvation. So why should we focus on the significance, the greatness of our salvation? Because it was the preoccupation of the Old Testament prophets and because it was the preoccupation of the Holy Spirit of God who gave us this word to know about. That leads us to a third perspective on this subject of the greatness of our salvation. It relates to the apostles' preaching. Look at the second half of verse 12. In these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And he's referencing primarily the apostles' teaching. They weren't the only ones, but they were the first ones to do that. And if you remember, who was the first one to preach a true gospel sermon? It was Peter on the day of Pentecost after being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he and then John and then the other apostles began to preach Christ. And what did they preach about Christ? Crucified, risen, ascended, coming again. They preached about Christ, and then they called people to repent and to believe in this Savior. That was the apostles' preaching. They preached the gospel. And thus, Peter and the rest of the apostles and those that also accompanied the apostles, and sometimes they were sent out by the apostles, sometimes they were sent out by the church in Jerusalem, a Barnabas, a Luke, and other people. They were sent out to preach the gospel. That's the thing they were concerned about. They were consumed with preaching and declaring the gospel. They didn't try to correct all the societal ills. They preached the gospel, which brings a new birth, which creates a new heart, which brings regeneration into a person's soul, who brings with it the infilling of the Holy Spirit to enable us in our words and our life and our attitudes to live the gospel out, which will affect society, will it not? So they preached the gospel. That was their consuming preoccupation as well. To preach salvation, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2? When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with the superiority of speech or of wisdom, for I determined to know nothing among you except what? Preach Jesus and Him crucified. That was Paul's message. Why? Because he said in another book in Romans, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power for what? Unto salvation. That's what I'm going to preach. That's what I'm going to declare. The gospel, the salvation that comes to us through Jesus Christ. And they were eyewitnesses of all this, weren't they? That's part of the qualification of being an apostle, seeing the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what you see through the book of Acts, them preaching the gospel, preaching the gospel, preaching the gospel. That was their preoccupation, to declare Christ. Even among these, we read in verse 1, even among these that were scattered in these five areas Peter mentions in verse 1. You're still, when you're not apostles, but you're still scattered seed as we talked about. And you're to preach, you're to live, you're to talk about salvation in the gospel where you have been scattered, sovereignly scattered to represent the Lord. So the greatness of our salvation was the theme of the prophet's study. Of the apostles, of the Spirit's inspiration, the apostles preaching. And the last, this one that maybe we have had questions about the angel's examination. Look at it again into verse 12. All these things related to salvation, these are things into which angels long to look. Why do angels marvel at our salvation? It's because there are no saved angels. There are no saved angels. Salvation is not for them. Jesus came to die for men and women who were sinners before a holy God and provide salvation for them. He didn't do that for angels. There are holy angels. There are evil angels. There are elect angels. There are non-elect angels. But there are no saved angels. Salvation is only for us. Only for us. We alone of all creatures and beings in creation, we are the only ones that experience the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this fascinates the angels. They know something about the holiness of God, don't they? And yet they see us, sinners, guilty, rebellious against the Lord, and yet God saves us in light of how holy He is. If I could say it this way, they can't grasp that very well because that's not their experience at all. The angels, they're eager to know about the grace that God extends to sinners. And get this. If you look at the end of that verse 12, you don't see it in the English, but there's two picturesque words that are used there by Peter. If I could describe them this way to you, one of the words is like, you're on a street, maybe watching a parade, and maybe you're at the back of the crowd. So what do you do a lot of times? You try to get up on your tiptoes so you can see over the crowd. That's one of the words that's used here. That's the picture behind it. The other picture is stooping down, like sometimes you're really trying to get a good look at something. It's the same word that's used to Peter and John when they went to the tomb after on Resurrection Day, and they stooped to look inside the tomb trying to grasp what had happened there. And so these two words are used to describe the angels here. So it's almost, you have this picture, it's kind of like the angels stand up on tiptoe trying to grasp the specialness of our salvation. They stoop down low trying to understand how God could redeem this wretched person here. Because they don't know anything like that. They have no experience like that. In fact, here's how it's translated in a couple of places. New Living Translation. Even the angels are eagerly watching these things related to salvation happen. Kenneth Weiss, the Greek scholar, says, into which things the angels have a passionate desire to look carefully. We get it backwards sometimes. We reverse it sometimes. So often I find Christians want to be able to look into the angelic realm. It's nowhere we're told to look into the angelic realm. But the angels are fascinated to look into our realm and see wicked, rebellious sinners being redeemed by the grace of God. See, they don't know what it's like. They have no experience with the new birth. They have no experience of regeneration. They have no experience of being indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. They have no experience of the wonder of deliverance of sin and victory over sin. They know nothing about that. So can I say this to us? Please don't ever wish to be an angel. You are far more privileged than any angel because you have been redeemed by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is your substitute on the cross. So, we are the most blessed people in all of history because we know what the Old Testament prophets long to understand. We know what the angels cannot experience. Because we now have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, We understand history. We understand something of the future as well that the lost people in this world have no clue about. And so because of the time period you and I are living in at this side of the cross, we are some of the most blessed people in all of history. Because except for the coming of Christ the second time, I mean, we have 99% of the story. The prophets would love to have known what we knew. The angels would, I don't know if this is biblical or not, would love to experience what we experienced. You know what I mean? What a totally unique period in salvation's history that you and I are living in. And that's what we want to celebrate this morning. As we just give thanks once again for what God has made available to us. So let's pray. Would you bow your heads? Father, thank you for this reminder of just how prevalent the theme and the truth of salvation is throughout your holy word. Thank you for this time period in which we live. Yes, we are surrounded by ungodliness and all the stuff of the flesh and of what the enemy creates. I understand that. But we are in a unique period of salvation history where we can understand who Jesus was, that He came, that He stood in as my substitute and received the just wrath of a holy God against a rebellious sinner. Things that people of old long to know about. So Lord, thank you for the salvation that you have provided. And as we come to partake of the bread and cup once again, Lord, may our hearts just be so thankful and thrilled with the joy of salvation that you have extended to us by your great mercy through the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. I praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.